This is Adrian Westney Jr., and you're now listening to another edition of The More Abundant Life. I'm glad you've joined us today. We will begin a two-part series on the topic, The Prayer of Jabez. If you've ever been interested in this, and I know that there have been books written on this particular Bible character, Pastor Phipps is going to delve into that today, The Prayer of Jabez, Part 1. I hope that you will stay tuned and enjoy and appreciate today's message. Before we begin, here is music now, music from Wintley Phipps, entitled Whisper Your Name.
Feels like forever since you've been gone. I knew you had to go away, and you would be preparing a place for your own. And though you're gone, I still don't feel alone. 'Cause the moment I whisper your name, there's a peace that I cannot explain. My empty spirit, you fill me inside. Hold me in your arms and dry my tears. You take away all my sadness, you heal all my pain. A light within my soul shines bright again.
You are listening to The More Abundant Life. We just heard music by Wintley Phipps. Whisper Your Name is the name of the song from the CD release entitled The Power of a Dream. Here now is today's message.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles. Praise the Lord. What book did I say? That's just before 2 Chronicles. Chapter 1, 1 Chronicles, chapter 1. And now I just want you to put your thumb right there and hold on to this portion, this area of Scripture. And allow me to share with you this morning the book of 1 Chronicles gives us a long list full of the names of many of the great patriarchs of the Bible. It begins with Adam. And then what? Sheth, and then Enosh. And then for the next 9 chapters, we read, and so on. We read, so-and-so was the father of so-and-so. And so-and-so was the father of so-and-so. And this one begat that one. For 9 chapters, we read the biblical account of the generations from Adam on down to Obadiah and Hanan. If the truth be told, it is very difficult reading. Some people, when reading the Bible through, hit a wall when they reach the record of the generations. Frankly, it is a part of the Bible many people skip. Huh? Somebody say amen. You know I'm telling the truth. As a matter of fact, go with me to chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles. The sons of Judah. You can read with me or you can follow along. The sons of Judah, Phares, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal, and Reiah, and the son of Shobal begat Jahath, and Jahath begat Ahumai, and Lahad. They are the families of the Zohorites, and there were of the father of Etam, Jezreel, and Ishma, and Idbash, and the name of their sister was Hazelponi, and Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezor, the father of Husha. They are the sons of Hur, the firstborn Ephrathah, the father of Bethlehem, and Asher, the father of Tekoa, and had 2 wives, Hillah and Naharah, and Naharah bare him Ahuzam, and Hepher, and Temani, and Hashatari. These were the sons of Nara, and the sons of Hillah were Zereth, and Jezor, and Ithnan, and Koz begat Anub, and Zobebah, and the families of Harel, the son of Harum. And anyone who could read along with me deserves a degree. Amen. If you are phonetically challenged, these verses of the Bible are designed to strengthen your phonetic abilities. But then suddenly, without warning, the chronicle of genealogy is abruptly erupted in chapter 4, and we are introduced to a man, an unusual man. We are not told who gave birth to him, nor are we told who he gave birth to. We are told nothing about who his father is, neither are we given the names of his sons. No, all of a sudden, in the midst of all these generations, God gives us a short biographical testimony of a man who just shows up out of nowhere. His name is Jabez. The Bible simply says of him in 1 Chronicles 4:9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Now, as I prepared to speak to my church family and these graduates here this morning, God brought this blessed man's name yet again to my attention. What a name, Jabez. In biblical times, the name given to a child meant something. I don't know where we get the names we give our children today. People name their children anything today. Shama, mocha, coffee, Coca-Cola, people name their children anything with no rhyme or reason. When people ask me my name, I say my name is Wintley Phipps and I was unconscious when they gave it to me. This I can say, there is only a handful of people in this world named Wintley. And maybe that's what everybody's trying to do, to be so original and unique that it'll be a while before you meet anybody else with that name. But in Bible times, a child's name was a prophetic description of what that child would become. Jacob, Joshua, Moses, all these names had meaning: supplanter, savior, deliverer. Those were names that had meaning. Now, that doesn't mean that you will become what your name means. We had some people visit our home one day, and when they left, my father from down in Trinidad in his own way said, those were such unruly boys, and they all have such good Bible names. Dr. James Bruning, a psychology professor at Ohio University, did a study. He found that girls with names like Emma or Carolyn were more likely to pursue occupations like nurses or hairstylists, while boys with names like Bruno or Duke were more likely to pursue occupations such as truck drivers or plumbers. Now, I don't know how scientific that is. One day, a little fifth grader named Michael decided to run for president of the student council at his school. And during his little campaign, Michael had to go to his pediatrician for his annual checkup. His doctor, noticing all the campaign buttons Michael was wearing, said, "That's so wonderful. My name is Michael, too. And I also ran for the president of the student council when I was in the fifth grade. Only thing, though, I lost. But as you see, I went on to become a doctor." A few days later, when the election at Michael's school was held, poor Michael lost. And when Michael got home that day, he said to his mother, "Well, Mom, it looks like I'm going to be a doctor." All names aren't prophetic, because the Michael I know never lost a battle. Amen. In Bible times, the name you gave to a child was prophetically given to reflect something of that child's character and destiny. It seems as though Jabez's mother named him Jabez because Jabez meant, "I bore him in pain. I bore him in sorrow." Now, brothers and sisters, all babies arrive with their mothers enduring pain. Oh, I hear a big amen today on that. And if the truth be told, some deliveries are much more painful than others. Have mercy, Lord. Somebody just had a memory. After our last child, my wife said, "This one liked to kill me." That's what the best way she could say it. Jesus said in John 16:21, "A woman, when she's in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world." The Bible tells us that Jabez's birth, however, was so horrific, so terrible, so difficult, that Jabez's mother wanted to do something so whenever she felt like having another baby, she'd be reminded of what she had been through bringing Jabez into the world. So she named her son Pain. Some of us have mothers who didn't name us Pain, but every now and then they'll remind us of how much pain they went through to bring us into the world. This mother said to herself, "Boy, so that you could never ever want to cause me any more pain, I'm going to name you Pain, so that you'll never forget what I've been through." Now, that's what Jabez literally means, causes pain. Another way to say it would be a child of sorrow. In today's language, it's really more like naming your child Loser. The cause of pain. Can you imagine your own mother giving you that name? I can see it now. Poor Jabez out there playing with his friends, and suddenly that voice rings out loud and clear, "Jabez, You who have caused me pain, get in here. It's time to eat. I can see it now. Jabez out with the boys, and from blocks away he hears, Jabez, you the source of your mother's grief, come in for supper. Can you imagine walking down the street and have someone calling you pain? Now, for most of us, no one has ever called us a pain, at least not to our faces. But I guarantee you, someone has thought it. With a name like Jabez, prophetically, he should have grown up to be, as they say, a pain in the neck. According to his name, he was supposed to be a failure. Have mercy, Jesus. A loser, a disappointment. But early in his life, Jabez decided that he was not going to give his mother any more trouble. Early in his life, he decided he was not going to cause his mother any more pain. Early on, Jabez decided, despite the nature and the meaning of his name, he would live the kind of life God would bless. Church, with a name like Pain, Jabez could have turned out bitter and angry over the situation his mother had placed him in. If he acted up or acted out, some would have said, I told you so. Jabez could have blamed his mother, thrown a pity party for himself, but he didn't. He began his life as a source of pain. But through it all, hallelujah, he did not let his future be determined by his past. Jabez turned to God in prayer. In God's eyes, church, his one prayer so defined who he was that instead of telling us how he got here, God decided in his word to tell us about the prayer Jabez prayed. That prayer tells us that Jabez rose out of difficult circumstances, but he went on to live a blessed life. This is the prayer that defined Jabez. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Let's read that prayer together. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Oh, did you hear that prayer? Oh, that you would bless me, enlarge my territory, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from hurt and harm. All of us here this morning, like Jabez, were born in pain. All of us, in some way or another, gave our parents troubles. My poor mother, God bless her memory. I have forgotten most of what she had to put up with. Probably on purpose. I remember back in Trinidad, there was a habit that the young boys had that my mother didn't approve of, and that was hopping the train. Anybody ever heard about that? You'd run along inside and hop on the train. It was something. It was dangerous. And so my mother decided she was going to fix me. She was going to get me bus tickets rather than give me money to get on the train. But one day I just had to get on the train. And as I was on the train, I heard the conductor coming through saying, tickets! Tickets! And I froze. I realized I didn't have any money and I didn't have tickets. My mother had given me a bus ticket. And I sat there and I pushed my hand so hard that I busted a hole in my pocket. When the conductor came, I said, oh, I've got a hole. And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, boy, go on, you know. I've forgotten most of what I put my mother through. My mother used to tell me this story that some folks way back in a remote area of Trinidad had saved 5 years to get an ice box. Some of you don't know what that is, but you all know what that is, a precursor to a refrigerator. They had to send to England to get this ice box. And when I went over with my mother to visit, I opened up the door and sat on it and broke these people's ice box. 5 years they saved. Yes, all of us have caused our parents pain. Amen. Because I know I'm just telling my story, but you have some stories of your own. And all of us are supposed to be failures. Like Jabez, we're not supposed to succeed. But prayer changes things. You see, as a young teenager, I was headed for trouble. I wanted to be another rock star. And we have young people all around us this morning who think that the greatest thing in this world is to grow up and become another Tupac or Biggie or Ja Rule. They think that's the greatest thing they could ever do with their lives. But prayer changes things. The prayer, you older folks don't even know what I just said. The names I just called, you have no idea who these people are. The prayer that Jabez prayed, however, changed his life. And young people, that same prayer will guide you as you move forward with Christ. Now, the first thing Jabez prayed for in his prayer was, Lord, what? Come on now, Lord, bless me. What did he pray? In Bible times, when you said, Lord, bless me, that meant, Lord, consecrate me by your blood. Lord, make me holy. When Jabez prayed, Lord, bless me, Jabez was asking God to set him apart, make him holy. No wonder God said Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. He prayed that thou would bless me indeed. Some people think it's selfish to pray that prayer, Lord, bless me. But I believe if Jabez prayed that prayer and God was pleased with Jabez, there's nothing wrong in asking God to bless you. God is pleased, even overjoyed, when his children pray, Father, bless me. Don't listen to narrow-minded people. It's not selfish to ask God to bless you. As long as you understand that to be blessed, you must live holy. As long as you understand that you are blessed to be a blessing, our God enjoys nothing more than giving good gifts to his children. Didn't he say, I wish above all things that you would what? Prosper and be in good health. Which of you, says the Bible, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God encourages you to ask him for great things. If you've got your Bible, look at Jeremiah 33, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 2 and 3. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. What does he say? Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Amen. God wants to bless you in ways you haven't even thought of yet. He wants to enter your life and do powerful and incredible things. Didn't God say to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I'll make your name great and you will be what? A blessing. God wants to be a blessing in your life. Remember why God wants to bless you. Because you can't be a light in somebody else's life if that light is not first burning in your own life. Amen? If you try to be a blessing when you're not being blessed, that's like a bald man selling hair growing cream. Amen? You've got to be blessed. You've got to have a testimony. You know, I think it was Zig Ziglar who used to say, if you chase money, you will never catch it. But if you focus on helping people, money will chase you. Now notice, Jabez didn't come before the Lord with a laundry list of stuff he wanted. He didn't present God with a Christmas list. God bless Jabez, because Jabez simply prayed, Lord, bless me. Whichever way you see fit, bless me. Your God is so awesome that when he's ready to bless you, he knows how to even use the devil to bless you. One day a lady was running out of food. She had been faithfully serving the Lord all her life. And when she realized she was running out of food, she would go out into her backyard and lift her hands and pray. And she said, Lord, you know, I've tried to serve you, but you know, Lord, I'm running out of food. Lord, bless me and provide for me. Every day she'd go in the backyard and pray loud. Her neighbor, who didn't believe in God, got sick and tired of hearing all that praying, decided to play a trick on her. He went out, bought 4 bags of groceries, placed them at the front door, rang the doorbell, ran and hid in the bushes. When that lady opened the door, saw those groceries right there on the doorstep, she started praising the Lord, thanking the Lord for the groceries. The man jumped out of the bushes and said, why are you praising the Lord, lady? I bought the groceries. That woman started praising the Lord even more. And she said, Lord, I always knew you were going to bless me with groceries. I didn't know you were going to make the devil pay for it too. When God gets ready to bless you, he even knows how to use the devil to bless you. No wonder the man said, anyway, you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. There's a way of prayer. There's a form of prayer called supplication. Supplication is when you ask God for specific things. Oh, are you with me today? You know, when you pray, Lord, pay my rent. That's supplication. When you pray, Lord, let my enemies leave me alone. That's supplication. When you pray, Lord, help me pass my exam. That's supplication. And we should pray those kinds of prayers. God wants you to be specific. But when you really trust God, like Jabez trusted God, you'll pray, Lord, anywhere you bless. Anywhere you bless me, I'll be satisfied.
That brings us to the end of the message for today. We will broadcast part 2 of this message in another program. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, however, you may call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. That's 301-577-6342. And you want to ask for program number 316. You may also email a request to the Seabrook Audiovisual Department at seabrookav@yahoo.com. Until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. Remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.